You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. Today is the day that we kiss April goodbye, and that's hard to imagine a third of the way through the year already. By the way, my name's Bob Arthurs, and you have tuned into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And if you have not done so, this is the week of the spring offering, and if you'd like to partner with WMIE to help them with their operational expenses, unexpected expenditures, things like that, you know, keeping the facilities dry and tight, that would be greatly appreciated. Without the transmission towers and the microphones and the computers and the soundboards and the cables and all of those equalizers and all of these machines that have lights going on that I don't know what they do. But without that, the radio programs don't go out across the air. People are reduced in their opportunities to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and that would have a detrimental effect on the body of Christ here in Brevard County. So if God lays it upon your heart, 321-632-1000. They are trying to raise $40,000 this week and next week to cover the next 6 months of operational expenditures or unexpected expenditures. So thank you for being a partner with WMIA. I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air has been based in Rockledge, Florida. They've been in business for over 50 years. They provide professional sales and services and repairs for air conditioning and heating issues. They work in residential and light commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide their customers with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you think that might be something you could benefit in, listen, we are only 1 or 2 months away from really needing our climate control systems, and you want to make sure that someone's not taking advantage of you in your time of crisis. Wyrick Air, Dennis pastors a church here in Central Brevard County, or Central Florida. He pastors in the Geneva area, but he doesn't just preach the word. He brings the values of the word to his business as well. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. We highly recommend them and their services. They do great work. Today we are going to move over to Hebrews chapter 10. And we are going to begin reading through 9. Well, I'm going to go back up a little bit to verse number 30. So we'll read the last 11 verses. It says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And so that's a quote there in verse number 38 of from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So I think it is a good thing to remember that we don't have to seek to get even with people. In fact, the Bible specifically prohibits that. As we're talking about that followers of Jesus should be people of love, I want to remind you that the Bible says that we are supposed to love our enemies. That doesn't mean that we approve of their actions, but we realize that those people who are being hostile towards us are actually living in spiritual blindness, that many times they may think that they are doing God a service, but God has them targeted for salvation. Paul knew what it was like to be a persecutor of the church. He was very zealous about it. In fact, when he came to faith through a supernatural encounter with God, the church was to a large degree hesitant. Even the guy who went and presented the gospel to him was hesitant until God said, look, that guy is a chosen vessel for me. And so the reality is that in this world we will have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer. God has overcome the world. Jesus is triumphant. So we don't have to go around plotting and scheming and looking to see how we're going to get even. In fact, the Bible says we're not supposed to do that because God is the one who will repay. It says the Lord will judge his people. A lot of people live their life as if there is supposed to be no judgment, no accountability, and that is not the case. We're not supposed to use the standards of men or the emotions of men to make judgment. That can get us to using an incorrect and an inconsistent standard. Instead, God judges, and God judges in accordance with his word. Not according to popularity, not according to giftings. He judges according to his word. And so where in the world you might see people show mercy to someone who has a great deal of gifting or talent or power, or wealth, in the kingdom of God, you know, like it has been said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. All of us need Jesus to forgive us our sins and be the Lord of our life. And here's what the writer of Hebrews adds when it says the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So a lot of people who say, don't judge me, and, you know, don't realize that God, one of his titles is the judge of the spirits of all mankind. He is the judge, and he judges in perfect righteousness, in perfect holiness, and with perfect awareness and knowledge. That's the type of judgment he makes. And so he's going to judge us by whether or not we have relationship with Jesus Christ. And then when we do have relationship with Jesus, the things that we do, the things that we say, those are going to be judged by fire. They're going to be tried by fire, and there's going to be some things that are consumed and some things that will come forth refined, shining as gold, metal, and precious stones. There will be great reward for those. So when we look at this and we say we don't want people to judge us, or we don't want to seek revenge for ourselves, we need to come to grips with this reality that being in the hands of God is a very serious place to be. David was the standard of kings in the Old Testament. No matter what people accomplished economically, or whatever they accomplished militarily, whatever they did for society, they were all measured by whether or not they had a heart after God the way that David did. But David was not a perfect individual. He had many flaws. He committed immorality. He committed murder. He was not great at being a father, and his household paid a price for that. But one of the other things that he did was he violated one of the things that God had said don't do, and that was he ordered a census of the people of Israel. And Joab didn't want to do it. Joab was one of David's cousins. He was also his commander of the army. And Joab objected to it. David said, go do it anyway. And he did, but he didn't do it completely. As a result of that, David found himself in disobedience to the command of God. And so David was presented with three options. One of them was had to do with falling into the hands of men, and the last one had to do with falling into the hands of God. And it was the shortest duration of the options. And he said, let me fall into the hands of God. I'd rather be in God's hands than in man's hands. And there began to be a judgment on Israel that was extremely severe. And David said, look, this is my fault. This is not the people's fault. They should not be having to pay the price for my sin. And he had this revelation of this angel of judgment on a piece of property. And that was where God intervened and told the angel, stop the judgment. And that's the place that became the site of the temple. And the guy who owned the property was willing to give it to David, and David said, no, I'm not going to take something that from you that doesn't cost me. He paid the full price for it. There was a vast difference between him and Ahab. And if you look, David amassed this tremendous amount of fortune. He was not ever allowed to build the temple, but he prepared the plans, he prepared the materials, he prepared Solomon. He had it in his heart. He wasn't able to do it, but he had it in his heart to do. But I bring your attention to this because he said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men. God is a merciful God. And so a lot of modern society thinks, oh, well, God is a God of no standards. He just loves everybody so much, he's just going to let everything go by. And that is not the case at all. God is a God of perfect holiness and righteousness and justice. And to find yourself in the hands of God is both comforting, you know, when you're in right relationship with him, and very sobering if you are not in right relationship with him. I've only had occasion on a couple of times to go into a courtroom in a supportive role, and then I've also been there for jury selection and things like that, and find out that the protocol inside the courtroom is radically different than culture outside of the courtroom. So a lot of people who live in America think that the whole world enjoys the same freedoms that we do here in America. And many times they travel and they do things that are legal here in America that are illegal in those countries. And they find out that in those countries, they take those crimes very, 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 very seriously. And people oftentimes don't realize how serious God is when he says, be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. So the writer of Hebrews goes on here, and he says in verse number 32, recall the former days in which after you were eliminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. So, many are surprised to find out that whenever you begin to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, whenever you begin to your journey of faith with the Lord Jesus, that the enemy will many times cause your life to become very, very uncomfortable. So, but once your eyes are opened, it causes you to be able to endure the struggle with suffering, because the struggle with suffering is temporary. It may last for a while, but it will not last for eternity if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 33, it says, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations. You know, having just come through the Easter season here a few weeks ago, it's important to remember that the cross was the method of execution, because it was meant not only to punish the offender, but also to make a spectacle of them and humiliate them, so that those who were in that community would realize, hey, this is what we will do to you if you step out of line as well. This world system desires for people to live in bondage. It doesn't desire for people to, you know, live any way that they want. They say that until they're able to take a very strong-handed, authoritative role. The world system does not want you in financial freedom. It wants you in financial bondage. It wants you in under their control. There are parts of this world where the government tells people how far away from home that they can travel. And if you disobey with some of their restrictions, then, you know, you get reduced in your mobility to a very, very small area. The enemy wants to make a spectacle out of us, but God always leads his people in triumphal procession. So don't get discouraged if you are going through difficult seasons. And it says here in verse 33, spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me and my chains. Okay? And so that word, that's the phrase that brings us to this passage. We are supposed to be people of compassion. And it's one thing to be moved with compassion, be moved to action, godly action on behalf of those who are suffering. Here, the writer of Hebrews writes that the recipients of this letter had compassion on him, or they had sympathy or pity on him as he was being bound or held in captivity. And in other words, they were moved in a sympathetic manner. They were not like those people that say, "Hey, I'm behind you all the way. I'm so far behind you, you can't see me." No, these were people that they felt really bad about what was going on, and they were moved emotionally. And it says that as a result of that compassionate sympathy or pity, that they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. I saw something here a few weeks ago, and it said that for those of us in America, that we live, even the you know, lower levels of the socioeconomic system, if you have running hot water, you live in the top like 1% of the quality of life that people who have ever lived have. And that may sound strange to you, but we have so many modern comforts and conveniences that we take for granted, that we fail to appreciate because we've grown up with them. Well, I didn't grow up with running water. I grew up with a cistern. And what that meant was we had a water tank and we had an old pickup truck, and we used to drive the pickup truck pulling that water tank about 5 miles or so, and we paid to pump a tank full of water. Then we transported it back to the house. I think our cistern could hold about 2 of those water tanks. And that was how we had water. It was pumped out of a cistern. It wasn't until probably the 1980s that we had running water out in the part of, I tell people I didn't grow up in the country, but you know, you could see civilization from where we lived. There was a mall. It took them almost 20 years to build that mall, but it was about a quarter of a mile away. And so it says here, joyfully accepting the plundering of your goods. We get attached to things. And what is being written to here in the book of Hebrews is that these people had so been moved by the grace of God and saved by the grace of God and compassionate towards those who were suffering, and they also were willing to suffer. And it says that they were even joyfully accepting or welcoming the in a joyful manner that the things that they had were being seized, what's the word I'm looking for? Taken from them simply because of their faith. If they had something at their disposal, then these people who did not like believers were coming in and removing those things. And the saints realized that their security, their joy was not in the things that they possessed, but in the one who possessed their soul. So let me ask you today, how's your compassion level? If you were to look at your life, are you more concerned about things, or are you more concerned about eternity? Things don't endure, but God does. And so these saints here that are being written about in Hebrews 10, they were willing to be plundered of their goods because they knew that the world did not have the capabilities of removing their salvation. We'll press on a little bit more with that on tomorrow's broadcast. But there's a reason that you can do that. I'll just close out here today reading the latter part of verse number 34. It shows why we can prioritize our faith over possessions, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Whenever we fix our eyes on Jesus, whenever we realize that this world is not the prize, this world is the preparation ground, whenever we realize that, all of a sudden it causes our decision-making process, the lifestyle that we live, the way that we treat people, it causes us to reprioritize all of that. And I hope that we will choose that correctly. So I want to thank you once again for listening. 321-632-1000 if you'd like to partner with WMIE in their spring offering fundraiser. We appreciate you listening. I hope you have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Thank you.